Isaiah, son of Amoz, sings to us this first Sunday of the church year, as he will throughout Advent. This Sunday and next, Isaiah sings of peace. He sings to us of a peace that the world cannot give, a peace that passes all human understanding, a peace born of instruction in the ways of God. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah's vision is not unlike that of another prophet, Martin Luther King, Jr. I have a dream that emerged from a nightmare. I have a dream that one day, in days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. There is a yearning in days to come. There is a yearning sweetly relentless at the heart of Advent practice, a yearning for those days to come that can save us from the clutches of mere nostalgia. Our cultural embrace of the holiday is deeply, sentimentally, and pervasively nostalgic. Holiday music, the foods we enjoy, even the use of greens and reds in seasonal decorations, all this awakens in us a yearning for some mythic past perfect Christmas that probably never was. Advent is all about a very different yearning. Not for the past, but for tomorrow. The tomorrow hid with Christ in God. I have a dream that one day. This is a generative yearning. A yearning full of potential because it stirs up within us an eagerness to grasp that tomorrow. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains. All the nations shall flow to it. In time to come, we do not know when, in God's good and sure time, Jerusalem will loom large and tall as a reference point for the nations. That will be when the city has become a place commodious for widows and orphans and the poor, when the city is marked, as it surely will be, by faithfulness, justice, and righteousness. In that time, Jerusalem will be like a magnet. So strong will be its pull that the nations will flow to it uphill, up the mountain, defying the gravity of what is. And the gravity of what is surely enormous. War in Afghanistan, lingering war in Iraq, threatening war on the Korean Peninsula. I spoke with an old friend in the past couple of days, a friend who now lives in Florida. He was walking around in the shopping district of the small town he lives in, taking in the holiday shopping scene. He came across a gun store on Main Street, with its doors wide open, and Christmas music pouring out into the street. So he wandered in, never having been in a gun store before. The friendly staff helped him learn about different calibers of handguns. They taught him the basic distinction between automatic and semi-automatic weapons. He was told that if he purchases a new weapon any time before December 24th, the store will offer him a period of free instruction on their shooting range. And here's the best part. In the corner of the store was a Christmas tree decorated with ornaments and lights made of shell casings, large and small. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, who will teach us the ways of God, that we may walk in the paths of the Lord. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Oh, for that instruction! Isaiah sings of a day when all the nations, even ours, will stream to God's holy mountain for a new kind of education, a Torah that will make available to us all, the God-given secret of peace. That is to say, the Torah, God's instruction, is the clue for peace in our world. And in those days, someday, we will learn, because someday God will give us the instruction we so desperately need. But here's the question I have about those days. Haven't they already come? No, I know the wolf has yet to lie down with the lamb. I know that. But haven't we already been clued in on the God-given secret for peace? Hasn't God's instruction already been born among us, taking on our flesh and blood? Hasn't God's Torah made flesh already said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also." Friends, is not now the acceptable time? Is not now the day of salvation? We know what time it is. It is time to lay aside the works of darkness and put on for our only protection and sure security the armor of light. I have a dream that one day Martin Luther King Jr. used this yearning for tomorrow to shape all his actions in the present, because he yearned for the dream. He lived the dream as best he could. Because we yearn for the day when all the nations, even ours, shall beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, God invites us to transform our yearning into straining and striving. The United States Senate has, at this moment, in these days, a draft of a treaty, the START Treaty. A draft of the START Treaty, which has been negotiated in recent days by the Obama administration, a treaty designed to further reduce the nuclear stockpile held by our two nations. And the United States and Russia are in possession of 80% of the world's nuclear warheads. The United States Senate has within it at this time the opportunity to take a concrete step toward that day. Now, many of us are still in the custom of writing cards at this time of year and getting ready to send them off to friends and family. What if your yearning becomes striving? What if this season, in addition to the cards you write to family or friends, perhaps you also write the members of the United States Senate and send them a friendly card wishing them well and urging each member of the United States Senate to push for the quick adoption of the START Treaty? What if? Roland Bainton wrote a famous biography of Martin Luther entitled Here I Stand. Bainton taught at Yale University for many years. Because of that famous biography of Luther, many, many people believed that Bainton was himself a Lutheran. He was not. Roland Bainton was a Quaker, a committed Quaker and pacifist. At the height of the Cold War in the 1960s, Roland Bainton published a book entitled Christian Attitudes Toward War and Peace, A Survey of the History of an Idea. And in that book, he explored the many and complicated embraces of just war theory and pacifism that have been a part of the Christian story. At the end of the book, he presents the case for his own committed pacifism and suggests that committed pacifism is the road we have not yet tried to walk, and says that pacifism is not a strategy, but a witness. May our yearning for God's tomorrow become striving in our present, striving that becomes witness to that day. Friends, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.